Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to Courage to Overcome, where we talk about how to manage toxic people and relationships. Today we're talking about gaslighting. Now, a fun fact, did you know the first example of gaslighting in human history is found in the Bible? Well, we're going to talk about this later in this episode. So, gaslighting. Now, I know that word gets thrown around a lot these days, but when you're living it, when you're in the thick of it, it doesn't feel like a buzzword. It feels like you're losing your mind. It feels like the ground beneath your feet is constantly shifting and you can't trust your own thoughts anymore. Maybe you've had moments where you know something happened, but your partner insists it didn't. Or maybe you've been told you're too sensitive, overreacting or imagining things so many times that you've started to believe it. Maybe you've apologized for things that weren't your fault just to keep the peace. If any of this resonates with you, I want you to take a deep breath right now. You're not crazy, you're not broken, and today we're going to shine a light on what gaslighting really is, how to recognize it, and most importantly, how to stand firm in the truth. So let's start with the basics. What is gaslighting? Gaslighting is a form of psychological manipulation where someone makes you question your own reality, your memories, your perceptions, and even your sanity. It's named after a 1944 movie called Gaslight, where a husband manipulates his wife into thinking she's going insane by dimming the gas lights in their home and then denying that the lights are flickering. In real life, gaslighting rarely looks like a dramatic movie scene. It's usually subtle. It creeps in slowly, conversation by conversation, until you don't even recognize yourself anymore. Here are some everyday examples. First of all, what we call the denial. You confront your partner about something hurtful they said, and they respond with, "I never said that. You're making things up." Even though you know you heard it, you might even replay the conversation in your head over and over, but their confidence makes you doubt yourself. The rewrite. You remember a specific incident, maybe a broken promise or a harsh comment, and when you bring it up, they say, "That's not how it happened at all. You're remembering it wrong. Here's what actually happened." And then they tell a completely different version of events. The deflection. You try to express how you feel and suddenly you're the problem. You're too emotional. You're being dramatic. Why do you always have to start a fight? The conversation shifts from your legitimate concern to defending your right to have feelings. The trivializing. Your pain is minimized. You're overacting. It wasn't that bad. Other women would be grateful for what you have. Your experiences are dismissed as insignificant. The confusion. They might be loving and kind one day, then cold and cruel the next. When you point out the inconsistency, they act like you're the one who's unstable. "I don't know what you're talking about. Everything's been fine." Here's what makes gaslighting so dangerous. Over time, you stop trusting yourself, you second guess every thought, you wonder if maybe you are too sensitive, maybe you are remembering things wrong, maybe the problem really is you. But let me tell you something important. If you feel like you're constantly walking on eggshells, if you're always apologizing, if you find yourself thinking, "Am I going crazy?" That's not love, that's manipulation. And God did not design you to live in constant confusion about your own reality. Now I want to take us back to the very beginning, to the Garden of Eden, because the first example, like I said earlier, of gaslighting in human history is found right there in Genesis chapter 3. So let me read verse 1 through 5. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die.'" "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Do you see what happened here? The serpent used classic gaslighting tactics. First, he questioned what God actually said. Did God really say? He planted a seed of doubt. He twisted God's words just enough to make Eve second guess what she knew to be true. God had been clear, but the serpent made it sound unreasonable, restrictive, like maybe she misunderstood. Second, he flat out denied the truth. God said, "You will surely die." The serpent said, "You will not die." He contradicted God's clear warning and with confident certainty. Third, he reframed the truth as a lie and the lie as freedom. He essentially said, "God's not protecting you. He's holding you back. He doesn't want you to be like him. He's threatened by you." He made God's loving boundary sound like selfish manipulation. This is exactly what gaslighters do. They twist the truth just enough. They make you doubt what you know. They deny clear result reality. They reframe healthy boundaries as control and their manipulation as care. And notice what happened to Eve. She began to doubt. She looked at the fruit differently. What seemed to be forbidden, she now saw as desirable for gaining wisdom. Her perception shifted. This is spiritual warfare. The enemy is a liar and the father of lies, as Jesus tells us in John 8:44. And he works through people who use manipulation and deception to keep you confused, doubting, and disconnected from the truth. But here's the good news. Jesus came to set us free. In John 8, verse 32, he says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." God is not a God of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us that. He doesn't twist words. He doesn't make you question your reality. He speaks clearly and his truth is solid ground. When someone consistently makes you doubt yourself, they are not operating in the Spirit of God, period. Now let's talk about the psychology behind gaslighting, because understanding the tactics help you recognize them in real life. Gaslighters use specific patterns to maintain control. Number one, countering. They question your memory of events. "That never happened. You're remembering it wrong." They sound so sure of themselves that you start to question your own recollection. Withholding. They refuse to engage with you. They pretend not to understand or they refuse to listen. "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want to hear this again." Trivializing. They minimize your feelings and experiences. "You're making a big deal out of nothing. Why are you so sensitive?" Your pain is treated as invalid. Forgetting, denying. They conveniently forget promises, agreements, or hurtful incidents, or they outright deny things happened, even when you have clear evidence. Diverting. They change the subject or turn things around on you. You bring up their behavior and suddenly you're defending yourself against accusations about your behavior. Here's what's important to understand. Gaslighting is often intentional. It's a control tactic. The goal is to keep you off balance, questioning yourself and depending on them to tell you what's real. And it works because of something called cognitive dissonance. When someone you love, someone you've committed your life to, behaves in ways that contradict who you thought they were, your brain struggles to make sense of it. So you might rationalize, "Maybe I'm too sensitive. Maybe I did misunderstand. He's not a bad person, so maybe I'm wrong." If your gut intuition is telling you something is off, if you feel confused, crazy, or constantly wrong, that's your internal warning system telling you that something isn't right. Psychologists tell us that prolonged gaslighting can lead to anxiety and depression, loss of confidence and self-esteem, feeling isolated and alone, difficulty making decisions, constantly apologizing, walking on eggshells. Does any of that sound familiar? If so, please hear me. This is not how God designed relationships to function. This is not the abundant life Jesus promised in John chapter 10, verse 10. So how do we combat gaslighting? How do we stand firm in truth when everything feels shaky? First, document your reality. Keep a journal. Write down conversations, incidents, and how they made you feel. Include dates and details. When someone tells you that never happened, you have a record. This isn't about building a case against them. It's about anchoring yourself in reality. Your experience is valid, and writing it down helps you remember that. Second, trust your feelings. Trust your instincts or your intuition. Your emotions are data. If you feel hurt, confused, or scared, those feelings are real, regardless of whether someone else validates them. Proverbs 20 verse 27 says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts." God gave you intuition. Trust it. Third, seek outside perspective. Gaslighters isolate you. They want to be your only source of truth. Break that pattern. Talk to a trusted friend, a counselor, a pastor who understands abuse dynamics. Proverbs 15 verse 22 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." You need people who can reflect reality back to you. Fourth, set boundaries with consequences. You can say, "When you tell me I didn't experience something I know happened, I will end this conversation," or, "I will not continue to engage when my feelings are dismissed," and then follow through. Boundaries without consequences are just suggestions. Fifth, ground yourself in God's word. When everything feels unstable, scripture is your anchor. Memorize verses that affirm truth. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Psalm 34, verse 18. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Isaiah 54, verse 17. When you're being told you're crazy, God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. When you're being told you're too much, God says you're enough in Christ. When you're being told you're the problem, God says he's near to the brokenhearted. I want to close with this. You are not responsible for someone else's refusal to see truth. You are not responsible for fixing someone who is committed to breaking you. Your job is to stand firm in what God says about you. Your job is to protect the precious life he's given you. Your job is to walk in freedom, not bondage. So if you're in a relationship where gaslighting is happening, please reach out for help. Call a domestic violence hotline. Talk to a counselor who specializes in emotional abuse. You don't have to navigate this alone. And if you're listening to this and thinking, "That's me, I'm the one being gaslit," I want you to say this out loud. "I am not crazy. I am not too sensitive. My feelings are valid. My experiences are real. God loves me, and he has not called me to live in confusion. I am worthy of truth, respect, and love." Thank you for being here today. Until next time, remember, you are loved, you are seen, and you have the courage to overcome. Take care and God bless.